Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk with my big old fat handsome sitting right here next to me, sitting on the desk with me as we speak. And I am part of a trio of three astrologers, and I am joined tonight by another one, and hopefully soon by Heather. Mark, you out there?
Yes, this is Mark Wohl, also in New York City, in Manhattan, over on the west side. And there's a cat running around here, too.
They can go anywhere they want.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I'm a cat, I can go where I want. You cannot tell me what to do. Yep.
Right.
So, and that's kind of like what's happening in the heavens right now. We have a lot of planets up there going, you can tell me what to do. I am in charge. And Mars is in Leo, so the cats are definitely now a little more active than they normally are, too. So for all of you who have been wondering why your cats are a little crazy, Mars is in the sign of the cat, saying, okay, let's have a little excitement. Handsome has been howling for the last couple of days.
Wind them up, right? Mars in Leo winds up the cat.
Right. It's the big lion in the sky. So it rules the little lions, too. So at any rate, we have Pluto starting to move this week. Last week he stopped, causing quite a lot of ruckus and commotion in a lot of people's lives. And now
it was interesting. The mayor of our city, Mayor Bloomberg, made a statement that if we don't get some things straightened out and balanced out financially, we're going to have a similar situation to that in Egypt when you got a bunch of well-educated young people with no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that with Pluto going direct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with the Pluto Uranus square forming that we've talked a lot about. And sure enough, you know, so he's tuned in.
Right. He also said he thought there'd be riots, too.
Yeah.
I was like, Mayor Mike, listen to you, you know.
Right.
But he totally has this, okay, you know, I'm ready to go. So what we find with the with this whole energy is a lot of energy around how are we going to do things and what are we going to do, and that there's a real call now to each of us. This is the last degrees of Virgo, so as the sun goes through the last degrees of Virgo, we're going to be looking at. There's Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
The Aunt Clarabelle rang. You're here. Introduce yourself.
Yes. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking from St. Paul, Minnesota, on a cold and crisp evening with the stars shining brightly. Have you seen Jupiter in the evening sky lately?
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really beautiful.
You really notice him.
Yeah,
he's like right up there.
Clear sky. Clear, dry sky. Jupiter really does shine.
And Venus just has been also glowing. So it's been an interesting evening skies lately.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you two tonight?
Good. We were just talking about the Pluto station last week and Mayor Bloomberg predicting riots in New York City.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And he was predicted. Why is he predicting the riots?
On the Pluto station, would have, you know, we would be like Egypt with a large educated population of people that didn't have work.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that as Venus did that opposition and the Sun is moving into opposing Uranus and squaring Pluto and the Pluto station, and that people's mood swings have been all over the place this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationships seem fairly volatile in good ways. And in not so good ways, I'm hearing of new couples getting together on that Venus-Uranus opposition. I don't know how long it'll last, but a lot of mood swings as that Venus-Pluto square intensified.
Yeah.
Well, this sun into Libra really brings it up because the sun walks through that square.
Right.
You know, it opposes
Uranus
and then squares Pluto. So
first Venus did that, then Pluto.
Yep.
And then Mercury. Don't forget Mercury. He's next.
Mercury's come a long way behind it.
Mercury's bouncing around, too. Yeah, and then Mercury has a chat with the sun right away.
Mm-hmm.
So,
When Venus squared Pluto, the two daughters of two major liberal families, Mondale and Kennedy, died the same day. You know, it's often when you see a Venus-Pluto aspect, you see a princess die, like Princess Diana herself or Mother Teresa, or in this case, it was the two daughters of one of Mondale family and one of the Kennedy family that died on the same morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives us a chance, you know, there's often a symbolic loss to mourn together.
Mm-hmm. And to say, wow, the loss of love, the loss of the young, the loss of the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the daughter of the king.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was interesting. I've got Mars and Cancer with that Pluto stationing was very hard too for a lot of people. It just really brought up. And then when it was in Taurus, it really was very primal. You know, I think of Taurus. I mean, yeah. I love my Tauruses, but they do have, you know, when faced with loss, they do really just have a horrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Venus was opposite Uranus saying, okay, it's leaving. And then Pluto was stopping saying, okay, it's going. And it was gone. And then the square and pop. And then in Mars into Leo, you know, it's a whole different feel today. And Mars in Gemini, Moon in Gemini this week, you know, tonight, which is actually nice for communications. But I'm just so happy Mars is in Leo.
Yeah.
I love my Mars and Lion sign, you know.
Mm-hmm. I always feel happy when Mars is in a fire sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And more energy.
So.
Yeah, you feel like
but,
you can get
you
stuff
know,
done.
When
yeah.
things go south, they
That's
go great. South with panache when Mars is in Leo.
Right.
And usually with
yeah.
a little roar.
Uh-huh. A little extra drama.
Mm-hmm. Well, this morning we had a bomb scare at Sotheby's across the street. So my cleaning lady and my assistant both were locked out for an hour outside because the police wouldn't let them through. Of course, they didn't call me to say we're evacuating the building. But all the Sotheby's employees were sent up the hill, you know. And apparently an unanticipated large box arrived. Now, when it's Sotheby's, it could be a very expensive item in the large box, but they called the bomb squad. And they've got the Teamsters outside who have been out there since... August, striking, you know, because they locked them out and hired scabs. So I was kind of like, wow, we had the fire department and the ambulances and the bomb people and quite a lot of excitement for a Monday morning. So it's good. All good. And then this week we have the equinox. Yay!
It's and even though that means the sun is then running through all the gamut of the opposition and the square and all the other aspects when something goes into cardinal signs nowadays, but it's pretty wonderful, isn't it?
Mm. Well, it's air sign, you know, Venus in air, and then sun in air. Everybody gets much lighter when they're out of Earth. I mean, I love Earth because I get a lot done, but I can totally appreciate air because you feel like, oh, I can at least think again. I'm not just running around doing things. So this week through Friday, we'll be busy, busy bee because sun's in Virgo. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You got to do a lot of things. And, of course, the last bits of it with the moon in Cancer on Thursday is sextile to the sun. So emotionally, we're also going to process Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're going to process what goes on that we've worked on since Mars was in Cancer from the beginning of August to now. And then we're going to say, okay, that's done, next, and then go into Libra, sun into Libra. And I love the Libra ingress. I think it looks really juicy.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got Mars trine
Uranus. What do you see about the Libra ingress? And when you say the Libra ingress, that means when the sun goes into
the sign of Libra, right. Uh-huh. So it goes in at 5 in the morning on the 23rd. On East Coast, 5:05 a.m. East Coast time. But it has Mars trine.
You see there? Yep.
What I like is the Mars trine Uranus. To me, that's just very juicy and full of like lots of getting things accomplished. Mars in the Leo sign, trine Uranus in the fire sign, Aries, and then Moon square Jupiter. A little overdoing, but not bad. And it's just kind of a nice, juicy, fun chart, you know, with, wow, we could actually have fun this fall. That was what I thought.
Yeah, it's nice to see the moon in Leo for this, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does heighten all the Leo energy, and it brings that fire energy into the cardinal air.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good solstice to celebrate with a ritual of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like all about creation rituals right now. Because the other thing we have going on is we have Saturn in a section of the sky that he's not going to be in again for till 2040, between now and November 4th. So he's making commitments between now and November 4th, because that section he never goes through again. And he goes through in 30.
Can you define that?
Well, he's running between the degrees of 7. Last year he got up to 17 in January. And then he went back and he stationed to 10, which was October of last year. He stationed all May, June, July. And now he's forward again, so he's back to where he was in January, where we kind of put the pause button on our relationship issues, and we worked on them for the last 9 months. And now Saturn's back saying, hi, I told you I'd be back in September, and I'm back, and now you have to make decisions about the relationship issue that you postponed last January. And everybody has to make decisions. So, what are we going to do? What's the point? What are we working on in relationship with Saturn in Libra? What relationships are we working on? What's natally our Aquarius house? What's natally our Capricorn house? Where does Saturn live in our chart? Mm-hmm. We're pulling it all together. So now what he does is he runs from the degrees of 17 Libra to 22 Libra, and he's not going to touch those degrees ever again. He's going to run right through them really quickly. And then he's into 22, and he goes back and sits at 22 all next summer. So the stuff that happens between now and November 4th is fixed. It's done. It happens, and it's not going to change because Saturn's not going to come back and revise it. He's firmly committing to the intro, to the musical overload. Whatever relationship issues you commit to between now and November 4th are firm for the next 40 years, 29 years till 2040, or 7-year subset thereof when Saturn comes back to test it. So it's real lock and load. You know, it's like, okay, what do you want? What's your vision for the next 29 years? What are you thinking? What do you think about what you want in your relationship world? And really standing true that this is what I'm ready for. This is what I want.
Remember that also includes partnerships of any kind.
Partnerships of any kind, and also because it's in the Aquarian house, it's tied to group activity too.
That Saturn Juno conjunction.
Yes, Saturn Juno, but also Saturn in between 10 and 20, he's in the Aquarian decant. So it's a double Saturn. It's Saturn, Saturn. It's Saturn, my hopes and dreams, Aquarius, and Saturn, my relationship partnerships, Saturn. It's like really heavy duty.
And with Saturn conjunct the asteroid of partnerships, Juno, one of the things he's asking us to make sure is that we're balancing our needs with our work needs with our relationship needs.
Right.
And to listen if we feel there isn't if we're affected by the illusion that, and it's interesting that Saturn now is trining the nodes, the south node, and that we have the illusion that we have to choose between our work and our relationship. It's often, Juno brings up that sense that we have to give up something about our life purpose in order to find partnership, as Juno once felt she had to do for Zeus. But the role seems to be more about how do we consider all of our partnerships, relationships, friendships, all egalitarian relationships, and know that they actually can support our life's work rather than take us away from it.
And they actually are our life's work, you know?
Right.
And
if we take away...
That's partly because Saturn always reminds us of what our personal responsibility is.
Yeah, that's well put.
He's saying, you know, don't throw it off in the name of codependency, you know? It's what are you bringing to the relationship, because that's ultimately all that you can take responsibility for. And you also can't ask your mate to take responsibility for what should be yours. So that's what Mr. Saturn reminds us of.
Yeah, he's pretty firm. So, yeah, I think, you know, the whole concept as he really picks up speed now, because he's whipping along. He is really going to be asking us to understand what it is we seek and how we seek a balance, what we seek in our partners, and what does partner bring to us. And I have a lot of clients that are kind of talking about, well, you know, I thought he or I thought she, and it's like, yeah, okay.
Right.
And, you know, what, you know, that's your, you know, I mean, you don't say it necessarily that way, but you say, well, what actually did they say, you know? And a lot of times it's, we bring to partnership, at least I see it a lot, we bring to partnership our own needs to be seen or to be recognized instead of necessarily looking at what partner needs. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of say, well, I need you to do this, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you know, and I think to your point, Mark, it's like, well, that's great, but, you know, I don't want to.
Right, what are you bringing?
What are you bringing to the table?
To this? Yeah. Exactly, because that's all you really can determine.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's all you can control.
Yes, and that often people need retraining,
mm-hmm.
and if they and Saturn is asking us to do good relationship skills, even if we don't really feel like it right now. And notice that if someone really is trying to restrict our life's purpose and we really cannot retrain them, then they probably are not a real friend.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think in general, whenever we hit the fall equinox, the whole question about fairness in relationship, and that's fairness in tax relationships, in between countries, between socioeconomic classes, between partners, it all comes up. What is fair?
Yep. Well, and we have the UN General Assembly here in New York this week, you know, so they're all here saying, okay, what's fair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we all going to get along, or are we going to get along? What are we going to do? So it's always really, I think you're right, it's the balance that we strike. And Libra does ask what's fair. You know, how do we divide what, you know, it means you have to, you know, it corrects for Virgo, which is, I have to do this for myself. I have to do this work. I have to learn the competency. I have to learn the skill, da-da-da. And Libra is always about, like, well, it's for the greater good of the group, or the not the group, but of the relationship that you're doing this. Excuse me. So,
mm-hmm.
kind of fun. All right. And we also have Mercury going into Libra this week, too.
Sure.
Not just the Sun, but Mercury, too. And we also have
exciting
the
week.
Yeah, it's a very fun week. And we also have the Sun opposite Uranus, which I think is going to be fun on Sunday. So, and in true Mercury fashion, on Friday night or Saturday night, Alec Baldwin's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live as the Sun is at the last degree of Virgo on his ascendant, and Mercury's at the last degree of Virgo. Huh? Yeah, it's like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
you know, you kind of see the people kind of coming forward and going, okay, I'm coming in. So, and we this week we also have the Moon in Gemini today, tomorrow till 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Good closing aspect mm-hmm. of a trine. Then the Moon goes into Cancer Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, Thursday, all till late. Then it goes with a nice sextile, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, very productive. And then on Friday, Thursday night, Moon's in Leo, and then it's in Leo on Friday and Saturday till 10:40 with a Neptune opposition, so it dissolves stuff. And then it goes into Virgo bright and early Sunday morning with a long void moon of 3 days, actually, 3:47, and then all day on the 26th until the new moon in Libra on the 27th. So it's a very big, robust kind of answer, get a lot done kind of week. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So any other comments about
the
week?
And I think it's interesting that on the fall solstice that we also, the fall equinox, that is the last day of don't ask, don't tell policy and the beginning of you know, more equal rights in the military.
Wow.
It's a perfect way to celebrate the equinox.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize it didn't go away yet. It's still been there.
No, tomorrow is the first full official day of the new policy.
Wow. That's really cool. On the Sun in Cancer. Okay. Very cool. I kind of love it, you know. Mm-hmm. Astrology in Action, that's the name that we should rename the show. Instead of Access Astrology, we should say Astrology in Action.
Astrology in Action.
Yeah, we're able to help you see things and understand things from the perspective of the heavens. All right, I'm going to put out the phone number and see if we get some callers. Mm-hmm. We do have a couple people listening, and if they'd like to be called on, they have to press 1, which raises their hand. And then we will, up there, 310, raise their hand, and then we'll call on them. So our call-in number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And I will now call on California someplace, L.A. Hello, California.
Hi, you guys. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yep, we can hear you. How are you?
I'm good. I actually had a reading from you before, Anne, like a year ago. And
I've
listened to you guys' show. It's really good, by the way, Mark. And you guys are really complimentary to each other.
Thanks. We have a lot of fun.
And I like that Action Astrology. That's a good
Action
idea.
Action Astrology. Rename it. Okay.
I just have a question. I released a creative project a week ago, and I wanted to see just how everything is looking in my chart as far as props. My birthday is November 1st, 1979, St. Louis Park, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
At 11
my neighborhood.
11 a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
P.m. Okay, cool. It was a creative project on November 1st, 1979, 11-11 in St. Louis Park. And you released it last week.
Around the 9th.
Around the 9th. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And your reading was very accurate, Anne, by the way, because you told me I had been having writer's block for a while, and then it all just came gushing in, and I completed what I've been working on for 8 years.
Yay! Congratulations.
Yay. Yeah. All of a sudden just came
you
together.
You are a binge-purge kind of personality, that's for sure, when you look at your chart. You know, sometimes the deadline, you need that pressure to build up for you to really get the process going, that you do better in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You do just kind of with a free schedule. You like the intensity of the deadline or self-imposed deadline will help you over those humps when you really need them. Looks really good time to launch a project for me, as far as I can see. What do you see, Anne?
Yeah, I think so. I like it. I do in the 9th. You got Mars on your Juno, which is partnering with it and sending it off, and Jupiter high right in the top of the chart, stationing on your Vesta. You're probably going to have to revise it a little bit because of, you know, it's Jupiter's retrograde, but that's okay. Natally, you do not have Jupiter retrograde, but it's a grand trine to your Jupiter North Node and Sun Venus in there. I like it. I mean, I think it's, not a huge revision, but as Jupiter goes back to zero at Christmas time, I would think you're going to hear, I think you're probably going to hear stuff before. Sooner as opposed to later.
You may hear as soon as Mars crosses your ascendant.
Yeah.
I think that in a few weeks when Mars comes across the ascendant and comes back to your first house, you're going to be more action-oriented and visible for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there's work happening behind the scenes right now that may be supportive to you.
Yeah. And you're also about to have your Mars return, which starts a new two-year project. For you, and you have that before, and then you got Mars back and forth for 9 months in your house of money. So that should be really productive for you in terms of bringing in financial
and
remuneration.
Sun was right on your Saturn in your second house doing the work when you expressed this.
Yeah.
It looks to me like your writing only gets better over time with that Pluto in the third house. What was the nature of your writing project? Was it kind of either fiction or reality, but kind of going in depth on something?
Yes, it was song.
Tell me. I'm sorry?
It was songwriting. So it incorporates Yeah. Yeah, it incorporates some political stuff, but also fantasy stuff, I guess. Dream world.
Very cool. Sounds like a good
thing. Yeah, I think your writing will only deepen and get even better. I mean, I like songwriting for you in that the Pluto on the ninth, the moon in Aries much prefers short stories, which I think your songs can be like short stories, but it likes intense and short and focused rather than long novel-y writing. But you're not interested in doing things that are light and fluffy. So how do you go deep and make it, you know, the kind of juiciness that you like in a short form and still connect to people? I think that's just going to get better over time.
Well, that all sounds really good. Thank you.
Yeah, very cool.
Thanks, you guys.
Good luck on that.
Good luck with it.
Thank
you. Know, again, if you feel, because in a few weeks, there's, you know, really good things for your project in general right now. But if you feel like you're not getting as the results that you want right away, there's going to be some good times. Hold on for you to. I'm just checking the time for you to release it again. And I would say that when Mars comes across your ascendant, which is about October 8th and on, the week after October 8th, would be a good time to make an overture if you don't feel like this one was the success you wanted it to be.
Great. That's great advice. Thank you.
Cool. Good. Mark, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I'd say you're on the right track. And just, you know, keep working with the same form that you have there. And send some more stuff out.
Great. Thanks, you guys. You do an awesome job. So keep
good.
Thank you.
Good
luck.
Yay.
Yeah, you guys are great. So anyone that hears this, they should definitely call in and talk to you guys, because it's really accurate and really fun to hear this stuff. So keep it up.
Oh, wonderful.
Very cool.
Thank
glad
you very much.
All right, glad we could be of help.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Cool.
Bye. Okay. And again, our calling number is 347-215-8881. Press 1 when you call. 352, I see you out there, but you haven't raised your hand, so I'm not going to call on you. Okay, that was our caller. She raised her hand and we called on her. Okay, so now we have a couple minutes left before the show wraps. So I think, you know, I was thinking with the equinox, I like always to sit and with the new season kind of do an evaluation. I mean, obviously, you know, they tell you to change your smoke alarm batteries and things like that. At least they do here in New York. But I find it's also a really good time to take stock, because the sun is, it's getting ready to go into the fall, go into harvest mode, you know, go into, okay, what are we doing? So what do you guys do? Do you honor the fall equinox with any particular kind of, you had said ritual earlier, Heather.
Well,
what kind
I'm
of stuff? Because I know you really do religious stuff with.
Yeah, there's a fairly active pagan group here in Minneapolis. A collection of many different paths. They call themselves Paganistan. So when you that's the collection of all the various different pagan groups, and they were holding a new moon ritual an equinox ritual at the Pagan Community Center, and I usually spend some time just out with the stars if I can, outside, feeling the balance between the seasons and listening to how I can create more balance in my own life.
Mark,
so
what do you
helpful.
Do? Yeah, Mark, what do you do?
Good, same thing. Well, not so much ritual as meditation, but definitely meditating on what it is that brings about balance. And I look particularly for things that I feel have been out of balance and ask for those to be brought into balance and see what I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I can see one or two things very, very strongly that need to be attended to. But I look the other way until that time. So I let it come to me. Good enough.
Yep, British lady said 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So my name is Ann Ortley, astrologer on the Upper East Side, signing off for the night.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota. Happy to be in contact with all of you, and we all do personal readings if you're curious.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark?
Mark Wolf in New York, Access Astrology.
Yes.
Yeah. So feel free to join us next week. Tell your friends, and also if you're in New York, stop by the Open Center. We're there on Tuesdays at 6:30. And Heather, are you speaking anywhere in Minneapolis this month?
I am speaking in the Mankato, the Women's Spirituality Conference in October.
Okay.
That's my next gig, and I'll be teaching first week of the month at Sacred Path Center doing our astrological chart clinic.
Very cool. Okay, good. So stop by and say hi if you hear the show.
Wonderful.
And tell your friends. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, good night.